All right, as I mentioned, this call is being recorded. So good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for your patience letting everyone get connected. As a reminder, this call is muted, and it will be recorded for those of you who want to reference the material later or who are not available for this call. We are so glad your family has chosen to join our family at BBYO Passport. As an organization, BBYO has so much to offer year-round, and our travel-based immersive experience are a perfect opportunity to provide individuals an opportunity to have an additional outlet over the summer to experience the world. While some of our teams are members of BBYO, a significant portion are not, and we are traveling to more than 16 countries this summer on various types of experiences, and we understand that this call may not go into specifics for your program's itinerary or your country's norms, but we do hope to provide a general understanding for how BBYO Passport operates as an organization, some of our objectives, our approach to safety and security, specifically modeled in Israel, our behavior standards and policies, how to stay healthy, the role of our staff team, general best practices on food and accommodations, and, of course, communication during the program. We've spent a significant amount of time incorporating more country and program-specific details into each pre-trip prep document or guide that you should have received in anticipation of this call. We hope that it will help give you a better understanding of how to prepare for the summer. All the questions you guys sent in before this call, we greatly appreciate them. We've tried to incorporate them either into this call or sent back specific responses. We also take notes each year and try to incorporate more details into the documents. We do hope that by using Israel as our base for most of the conversation, you will find comfort in our organization and can find specifics in the guides and pre-trip calls with our staff. So let me start off by introducing myself. My name is Aaron Robin, and I'm BBYO Passport's Executive Director. I've been working with BBYO professionally since 2007, and I've witnessed some of the most incredible growth and transformation through our immersive experiences. Our team, both year-round and seasonally, is deeply vetted, invested into our mission, which is more Jewish teams, more meaningful Jewish experiences. BBYO has a team movement in roughly 40 countries, and we engage more than 85,000 teams, Jewish teams, in a meaningful way, in a pluralistic way, for more than 90 years. And we hope that you're getting excited for your journey ahead and that your engagement will provide true meaning for the growth and development of your team's Jewish identity and their independence. As the travel branch of BBYO, BBYO Passport has three pillars. We have a delegation on the March of Living, we have adult and family travel to Israel, and of course our summer experiences, which include leadership, adventure, cultural immersion, touring, giving back, and community exchange. And we appreciate the confidence that you've all put in our organization and our long-standing tradition. All of our experiences incorporate six main objectives, which we hold as our core values for all of our programs. They include community. So our team will develop a sense of being part of a community of travelers. They'll be living in the same space. They'll be sharing meaningful experiences and forming lasting relationships and friendships. Number two is Jewish life. We hope that our teams will develop a love and appreciation for Jewish life in all of its forms all around the world while embracing the values of mutual respect and learning. Cultural understanding. Teams will engage in experiences outside of their comfort zone and will return home with greater confidence, a sense of self, and independence. Personal growth. Teams will be exposed to new cultures and ideas, and in doing so, we hope that you'll develop the capacity to see their own life from a broader perspective. Role modeling. Teams will benefit from invaluable connections with their trip staff, viewing the staff as role models. And last but not least, of course, safety and fun. Each experience that we offer optimizes fun while maximizing safety. And teams will be able to live the fullest expression of adventure and travel without fear. We work with our staff to create these itineraries and group experiences that tend to an environment that works to advance each of these elements each week over the summer. And through this exploration and personal discovery, this summer will help to build your own story and your personal journey as a Jewish teenager. We hope you will feel that you will feel proud of yourself, your heritage, and you'll want to share these experiences with others. More than 85% of our teens that join us on our experiences come because of the feedback they've received from our alumni. And with this network, we have significant positive change in the world. We're sending just about 900 teens on experience this summer on our travel-based experiences. And specifically, almost half of them, if not just a little bit more, are going to Israel, connecting Israel with their summer. And thus, Israel is obviously at the core of what we do. And if you're not going to Israel this summer, that's okay. We hope that you will consider Israel as an option either with us, with your family on our family trips, as part of the March of Living, or a gap year before college or during college. There are many options to get to Israel. And, traveling to Israel is a dream shared by our ancestors for thousands of years. And it's one of the most repeated statements in Jewish text. And in order to know where we are going as an organization, even with traveling outside of Israel, it's really important to understand how we got here in the first place. And just a quick story, in 1956, we welcomed our first group of 19 teens who came together from all across North America to travel to Israel with us, and I say us, clearly it was not me, but this transcontinental flight took 33 hours from New York City with a stop refueling in Gander, Newfoundland, and then again in London, and then again in Rome, before arriving to Israel. Like, it was truly a journey, with every sense of the word. And today in the diaspora, we can't forget to acknowledge that while anti-Semitism is still prevalent, even in the U.S. and Canada, we are reopening and forging new relationships with Jewish families around the world, including a partnership with a vibrant JCC in Krakow, the thriving Jewish community in Gibraltar, remembering its historical ties for more than 500 years in Spain with our friends joining us, we have teams coming from Barcelona and Madrid, and a partnership with friends in Johannesburg or Joburg, South Africa. These are just a few examples of the impact our organization has worldwide. And we want these stories and these communities to be part of your team's identity, to continue to build the bridge between the communities around the world. As the world seems large, it keeps getting smaller and smaller every day in regards to the connections and the impact that each of us have on the grand scheme of the humankind. And these days, BBYO Passport offers a large selection of experiences in Israel and around the world. So much has changed since this very first trip of the story I told you, but of course the spirit of our experiences remains the same, the Ruach. The safety and well-being of our participants will always be our guiding consideration. And for more than 90 years, BBYO has strived to earn the trust of teens and parents on programs both close to home and far away. Behind this history is a systematic approach to providing a responsible environment backed up by a team of caring professionals with decades of experience. And while safety is our guiding principle, we are equally committed to providing you with a meaningful and entirely fun experience. We provide proactive risk management and well-informed precautionary measures to ensure the safety and security of all of our participants in every city we travel. Our procedures vary, obviously, to match the specific situations in each country in which we travel, but our core approach remains the same. We rely on local experts that we have relationships with, and our program directors are skilled professionals, many of whom are also licensed tour guides, who bring years of local knowledge and cultural expertise to our trips. Our security escorts. In some regions where we assess it to be prudent, groups will be escorted by a licensed security professional. The countries that we've identified currently include Israel, Bulgaria, Argentina, and Poland. While we still feel these places are safe, the local partners there feel it's in our best interest for any sort of confrontation to have somebody who can protect our group. We don't think this is an immediate threat. It's just something we do as a precaution. We have well-trained staff, and our staff are carefully selected. Most actually, I would say 85% are returning staff or one degree removed from a returning staff. So one of our staff members highly recommended this experience to a friend or a family member, and they've joined us. We actually have, I think, like four pairs, so eight people who are either siblings or cousins joining us. And they must pass a background check screening. They attend an in-person training with a strong emphasis on participant well-being. And these are supervised programs, and we make every effort to give our participants the space and time to explore on their own. We don't allow our teams to leave the group without approved supervision. And that's very key to everything we do, and we take that very seriously. A few things I want to highlight about Israel, and we sent an email in advance of this call, just highlighting a few things about safety in Israel, both in regards to our general plan and obviously with the increased tension. I do want to just acknowledge that we have an office there. We have people on the ground. We are looking at the situation from a holistic perspective. And we are not in a current state where we are concerned about our safety of our teams and their well-being. We are also very clear that some of you aren't leaving for almost 2 months. And there's a lot of time for us to continue to evaluate and sort of check with our local authorities. And if we need to deviate or divert the itinerary or change our rules and procedures while on the ground, we don't hesitate to do that. We do that all the time, all around the world, for all sorts of reasons. Specifically, we had 60 teams arrive to JFK in 2014 when the rockets were coming from Gaza. And even after these teams had flown from all over the country and landing in New York, preparing for an international flight, 3 hours before the flight, we did end up making the call to withhold that trip of teams, and we provided safe communication, supervision to get all the teams back home, and provided an alternative to them to travel abroad, but not to Israel. So even in the moments where we're about to take off for an international flight, we don't hesitate to make decisions that use safety and security as our guiding force. And the teams that were there in 2014, as an example, we felt that we were able to still provide a safe and meaningful experience during the time. We had a lot of communication with parents. We had conference calls. We had emails. And parents really understood where we were coming from and supported us. In that time, we actually only had one teen out of the, I think, 450 teens that were there decide that they felt uncomfortable with our decision and chose to go home. And we made every effort to help them in that decision process and getting back home. We have security escorts, like I said, in Israel, and each group is accompanied at all times by this licensed security escort. They are primarily there as a trained medic, and most of them have recently, completed their military service. The idea, of these security escorts is obviously not to prevent terrorism. The goal is really on a day-to-day security, making sure teams are crossing the street without staring at their phones and making sure that they're watching for cars passing, and they're the last ones that on a hike to make sure that nobody is left behind and nobody leaves the group. And of course, that first aid piece is key. We have lots of teams that need band-aids or cleanups or just additional supports on the ground in terms of a first response, first aid sort of environment. But they are there as well to deal with other escalating situations. We have this 24/7 monitoring communication program with the government, and our programs are backed up by this office in Israel. It's a network of field support. Think about like the Army, the police, the fire department, the government, and they sort of advise us both in the morning and evening on a daily check-in, but also throughout the program, and they have this GPS communication that our group leader carries to ensure that they're in contact with the security agencies and with our office, our main office in Israel, as well as America at all times. And this actually comes up very often that they're used, but not necessarily in a terrorist environment or a military action environment. But daily we get notifications about heat index issues where we have to either start a hike earlier or it could be in regards to traffic accidents and the highways closed, or we've seen forest fires. Well, we're advised daily to deviate our itinerary, and truthfully, I'd be shocked if any of the kids ever understood what was going on in the background. It just happened seamlessly and pretty quickly. We also use, in Israel specifically, private transport, and we do not use the public transportation in Israel. Rather, our travel is on a private coach bus with experienced drivers from, you know, companies that we've worked with in the past that are trained to keep the bus secure. And truthfully, I would say that the buses, the private coach buses, are probably safer than any individual house. These people check their buses up and down. They lock them. They clean them. They're very protective. And I would say most of our providers all around the world also treat their buses in a very similar fashion. Sleeping sound. We only stay at overnight accommodations with security personnel on site, and this requires us to stay in secure rooms in accordance with Israel's highest standards. Careful planning. We plan our itineraries with caution in mind. Like I said, it's our guiding principle. And being careful to avoid areas of potentially heightened concern and always traveling with discretion. So, you know, our intent of staying away from the Gaza border does not change or increase during this conflict with the riots or the protests or whatever's happening by the border. It's something we always use as our guiding force. There are certain areas of Palestinian-controlled West Bank communities that we avoid and don't participate with, in certain areas, obviously East Jerusalem, that we stay away from as well. The areas in the Golan Heights and the old city of Jerusalem and other parts of the country, you know, those are the areas where we're making discretions during each program, each day specifically, and truthfully each hour. We are always vigilant. Like I said, if necessary, we don't hesitate to modify our itineraries. This goes for all around the world in the interest of safety. And decisions are made carefully and based on guidance from the authorities monitoring our programs. And I would say, you know, more often than not, we are making decisions sometimes above and beyond what these local agencies are recommending. And we're taking everything with great interest to make a decision as a team. And we're under the umbrella, like I said, of the Situation Room. It's the Ministry of Education in accordance with, you know, the Secret Service and all the government agencies in Israel. So I'm going to transition back out of Israel to our holistic sort of approach. As I said, our safety approach does hinge on the cooperation of our teams and their families. We have extremely high expectations of our participants, and we take a lot of responsibility on our shoulders for their health, safety, and security. Each family has reviewed our release and code of conduct. So this is not a guideline, but rather a calculated proposal of expectations. We review these every year with both our risk management team, our staff, our teams, our parents, to make sure that we're covering everything that needs to be said in these documents. We realize that most people aren't going to read word for word all the legal terminology. So what we've done is we've pulled out information to stress it in more layman terms. Number one, we require a signature, like I said, from every teen and parent. We send out an email a couple days before the departure and just before the return to remind you of these rules and best practices to stay safe. We included them in the preparation guide, and we've highlighted a few of our most important rules that impact your safety on our emergency card, which will be sent in your welcome packets. And we have our final round of welcome packets going out the last week of May, so you should receive them by, let's say, the first week of June, pending the post office. And we also will provide an orientation for the teams at the airports and upon arriving with your local staff. So as much as your American staff can give you guidance on safety and security in Italy, your local tour guides can remind you about what the rules are with staying with the group and what pickpocketing means in Europe and all around the world, on the specifics on what to look out for and what to be protecting your interests with. And we feel like these approaches, while we've done our best to build these up over time, they unfortunately do get broken. And our staff and your group leaders will do the best to create a positive environment so that each team can make a good decision and hopefully can be reminded from their friends and their peers on the program. But ultimately, each team, with the support from your parents, needs to use their best judgment to follow the rules. And each year, we are put in a position to expel teams from the programs when they violate a rule that results in them compromising their safety and security. It is certainly rather unfortunately, and easily avoidable, in my opinion. And I wish we could provide you with some of the quotes from parents and teams on their apologies and their regrets and understand the impact it has on them and the community built on the program. And none of the rules are worth breaking, and our staff is very reasonable with helping provide space for teams to have the fullest experience. For instance, we had a group of teams approach staff and say, 10:30 is a little early for our room checks. Can you provide a safe place for us to convene until something a little later, like 11:30? And the staff easily found the solution. Teams did not have to leave their room after room checks and sneak out. And teams should always know that they can always contact me directly. I've staffed almost all of our programs. I've been doing this for many years. I worked in formal classrooms, and I'm always there to support them within reason. But obviously, I've seen a lot of the other side of things and understand when we can and cannot make accommodations. But within reason, we're happy to do what we can. And I would much rather hear from them than then hear from me. And we cannot and will not allow these individuals who demonstrate an attitude or an action that takes staff's attention away from the whole group to focus on an individual who makes a poor decision or who cannot be trusted. This is an extraordinary gift of travel you're given. Don't waste it. These are not one-on-one supervised programs. We have to have a mutual trust between the teams and the staff. At some point we do room checks and we do let the staff go to bed at night. These are long programs and the staff need their sleep as well. And parents, I recommend that you and your team sign your own agreement and make it clear what's at stake for them. It's very expensive to buy a one-way flight home and forego the rest of the program. This emergency contact card that I sort of alluded to should be carried with your team at all times, and they should take a picture of it. With their phones. They have a version electronically in case they lose the card. It's a convenient reminder of our staff and our office contact information, and they'll be able to fill this out as they meet their staff on the ground in the local places that they're traveling to. And it also has a summary of rules and emergency action plan. I just want to review the emergency action plan. We spent a lot of time on this and trying to understand every foreseeable incident that we've encountered over the many years that I've been involved. And ultimately, we found this solution to be the most practical. We have to trust some common sense. But the key that we want to train people on is what's happening, what's not happening, what can I do to influence the events, and who do I need to inform? And that last piece is the key. Who do I need to inform? You see something suspicious, you should report it. If you see something that you're concerned about, you should report it. If you're in a situation where you're separated from the group, you should report it to your parents, to your fellow teens, to a local authority, and we will do everything we can to make sure that we get you back safely with ease to the program if that happens. Let me transition a little bit. There's no easy transition, but let's take a pause and talk about how you can protect your child and your investment with insurance and sort of a medical safety conversation. We have several options, both in regards to traveler's insurance and medical insurance. This is very confusing to a lot of people. Even for families that are in the insurance industry, it's still very challenging. So first, let's talk about traveler's insurance. It's insurance that is available in group policy, which we've created to lower the price and better coverage. This was available in your registration account when you registered, and you can continue to add this policy. Without confusing anything, I'm going to stick with the standard policy that we've advised you about the other policy that's available. At this time, your accounts are locked, so we can track the changes and keep everything in order prior to departure. But you can still purchase standard traveler's insurance up to a couple days prior to your trip. But just to be clear, there is like a 30-day look-back period by the insurance company, so you can't buy it after you found out that there's a reason for you to cancel. I will say that this policy is great in so many ways and so important, and it covers a lot of factors that might come up before or during the trip. It's certainly well worth the investment, if nothing else, for a delayed bag or a lost bag. It provides a sense of ease for families. It's a small investment. And I will say that one thing that I want to be clear about is that it doesn't help in any capacity from our experience with any war or terrorism sort of issues that might come up. So if that's a concern of yours, we can discuss what the cancel for any reason policy would look like and all the stipulations that are involved. But sort of the wartime and terrorism sort of conversations, the insurance companies are there to hedge their bets and sort of understand what people are going to use the insurance for. And we're happy to go over those details, but we definitely recommend checking out our website because it gives a lot of details on what is covered, what isn't covered, what stipulations are, and obviously there's like a 21-page document of the legal terms of the policy. You can also contact our insurance agent, and there's a contact on our insurance page, which we've linked also in your account, but also throughout several emails. Let's separate traveler's insurance, which is for delayed bag, you know, lost luggage, issues while traveling, logistically, delayed flights, canceled flights, missed flights. And let's talk about medical insurance. Each country that we travel to, we have local insurance purchased. These policies, however, do not cover pre-existing conditions. Thus, we have the traveler's insurance policy, again, and it's highly recommended as a secondary medical insurance option. So for those with pre-existing conditions, again, the traveler insurance will cover that. And once the primary insurance is sort of provided and declined. And for U.S. teams in the U.S., you'll need to rely on your domestic carrier for coverage for primary insurance. And please make sure your forms are complete and updated so we have that information. For teams that are international travelers coming to the U.S., we do provide primary medical care for you, and we do provide local care around the world for you as well. One of the simplest ways to keep everybody healthy are looking at the basics. Everyone must drink plenty of liquid and eat meals at designated times. I would say the majority of the health issues are stemmed or come from not staying hydrated and nourished during the program. Be sure to also take appropriate steps to protect yourself from the sun. I know this might sound trivial, and you know, we have lots of people that come from the south of the U.S. or other places that they're used to the sun, but at different levels of the equator, it does affect people differently with different food, different sleep patterns, different anxiety levels, stress, cortisol levels. The sun can affect you in different ways. And you may have already known this, but you know, we do ask that a majority of our daily travel, you know, we ask the teams to refrain from wearing tank tops. And this is sort of a controversial conversation that we have with a lot of parents and teens. It's sort of been told to us from our risk management consultants, the insurance providers for us, that we include that policy as a risk mitigation because if you study the effects of sun and look at our recommendations from insurance provider, this is one thing that really stands out. And you look at like the Bedouins, for instance, people that live in the desert, they cover their skin from the sun. So when we are out during the day, we ask that teams do not wear tank tops. But of course, when they're going to the beach at nighttime in the hotel, tank tops are fine. So it's not per se a modesty issue as much as it is a sun safety issue. So please try to respect that and understand that, if one of those things, I would say, a lot of the girls who do ask about it, the alternative is a very cheap pack of Hanes undershirts, V-neck, or crew cuffs, where they can wear the white T-shirt during the day and then switch to a tank top at nighttime. Sleep. We do try to make sure that we provide at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. Obviously, there are different situations which don't allow that. And while attempting to stay up, the days are long and everyone needs to rest, including specifically our staff. And curfew is clearly not designed per se for your team, so it is important that we know where they are, but it's really for the staff to know that the teams are safe and that the staff can go back to their rooms and have the quiet time and the decompression and the time to get some rest for themselves. You know, this is more of a disclaimer, but, you know, I know it doesn't happen. Please don't share your water bottles with others. Germs can easily play a toll on the group, and, you know, it's not an issue until it is an issue. And, you know, we do see the stomach flu and stomach bugs move pretty quickly through groups when they do visit. So drinking your own bottles is definitely the best way to sort of mitigate it. This is just a personal observation. I'm not a scientist by any means, but a lot of teams bring their own water bottles, which we encourage having water bottles, but a lot of them don't clean them. And the bacteria builds up inside the water bottles, especially the hoses. So if you are bringing those things, make sure you know how to properly clean them and you're not leaving them out, you know, with the mold and sort of the things that come from that. My best recommendation is having a water bottle that's easily cleanable. I often buy, like, the local water bottles, and I'll use it for 3 or 4 days until I feel like it's gotten used and dirty. And almost everywhere we travel, either will be, you know, clean spigots of water to fill your water bottles, or in certain places where water is more of a concern of safety, we do provide water bottles. And if you don't feel good, like, please don't wait to report it to your staff. Let your staff sort of be informed. And many of you are going to want to tell your mom and dad first, but please don't. Please contact our staff. Your parents are very far away. It scares them when they hear that you're not feeling well and they're not there to care for you. Our staff will be of a more immediate help. And in the case of a medical issue, we have doctors that either come to the group, we have urgent care centers, or worst case, emergency hospitals around the country with great care. And we'll do our best to make sure that we inform you of anything that happens on the ground. But more importantly, we ask that your teams contact you directly once the staff have a plan in place. I know that sometimes teams want to not miss the activities during the day, so they'll let the staff know at 9 o'clock at night. And what you end up finding is that the staff has to sleep on the ground at these hospitals. So the best that we can do to mitigate that and to sort of be proactive about seeking medical care, we greatly appreciate it. And we are very lucky to have extremely strong staff members, like I mentioned. Our staff come from all over the world, very different backgrounds. Our staff members are selected through a two-part interview process. They participate in a weekend-long training program. Staff members, of course, wear many hats. They serve as the mentors, the friends, the disciplinarians, the healthcare workers, and many other roles during the program. And, you know, we don't hire individual staff for our programs. We hire staff that we think can work well as a team. So we try to balance the expertise and the background of each staff to form a more comprehensive, synergetic environment of a staff team. And most importantly, they will be there to lead in creating a community for your group. And following our staff training, which is the first week of June, and leading up to your trip, our staff will have participant lists, which they will divide up, and they will use to contact each family. Please understand that our staff are advised not to call you on their phone numbers, so it will be difficult for you to maybe call them back. Some of them are professionals that work in fields in which they can't answer anyway. If you'd like to schedule a time once you miss the call, please reach out to our office and we'll pass along the message to staff to coordinate that. Parents, we want you to know that you can reach a member of our staff team at all times during the summer if you have ever a significant question or concern. We've already provided you with our emergency line and an explanation of what guidelines to use this number on. All other calls, we ask that, you know, they get sent via email or phoned into our office line during normal business hours. And please note that while we have an emergency line, we are not always able to answer it right away. But be very assured that we are doing the best that we can to respond in a very timely manner. But we might get information on your voicemail that we'd like to investigate the matter in order to have the full details from the ground, either just answering your question or solving whatever problems before we communicate with you. Our whole staff team is prepared to handle all the questions, and we'll route any escalated issues or concerns to the proper channels when needed. You know, our staff are really there to be with your teams, and what that means in reality is that they're not there to take your phone calls, and we actually don't allow our staff to speak with parents directly on the program because we found that if we have a 1-to-9 staff-to-team ratio and two parents call the staff, all of a sudden nobody is there to supervise your child or to build the group dynamics or to engage in conversation with all the other things that the staff bring to the table. So during our check-ins or we have the proper timing, we will connect with the staff to communicate any of your concerns. And this is sort of something that we do to protect our staff. And trust me, it's really important that our teams have an access to our staff and that our staff aren't distracted by a phone call, because if there are 40 kids on a program on a bus and two staff members are getting phone calls, even if it is an urgent issue or a concerned issue that does take precedence, it does put our staff at a huge, issue with being there for your teams, including the ones you're calling about. Our groups are made up of teams from very different backgrounds. We have teams vary in their observation level of Judaism. We have members and non-members of BBYO. We have teams from small towns like Iowa City, Iowa, to the largest of cities, such as Manhattan, and everything in between. And this diversity has many advantages and disadvantages. The biggest advantage is that we're able to take all these experiences from these teams and form one strong, cohesive community that travels together looking to experience the same thing but in different ways. Obviously, the biggest disadvantage that most people bring up to us is that they're not able to connect on a more intimate level with their group prior to departure. If you have a friend that's traveling with you from Barcelona and you have one in Alaska, the time difference makes it difficult to connect. So a lot of our first experiences of interacting with one another do come at the arrival on the connecting airport. During the program, we know that some of you will have friends or families in the cities and countries we are traveling to, and we absolutely encourage visitors to our groups during these free times that we have scheduled into our itineraries. Because the schedules are constantly evolving for all the reasons I said, but also just because travel is always evolving, teams, you can let your staff know on the ground and they can help with the timing and location. Approximately 30% of our teams actually connect two experiences. And in the coming weeks before your program, along with an itinerary, we're going to give you a snapshot of who your staff are, what your group dynamics look like, and sort of the dynamics if teams are coming or going to other experiences to the one that you are participating on. With that, there are two documents that you can review and try to make a decision on how best to pack given the various requirements and recommendations. So if you're doing Italy plus Israel, you're going to get a packing list for Italy, a packing list for Israel. A lot of it will overlap, but there is some explanation on laundry, which I will address also in a little bit. This is a lot of information to give you, and there's a lot of information that we send, and there's a lot of moving pieces. And we know that it's easiest to read things on a mobile phone, but we request that you use a computer to review all the pertinent information, such as the pre-trip prep guides and the travel itineraries. Some of the details about our programs on the ground, you can find in those documents, and you might find things in those documents that you might not have had questions about, but when you look for them, or you use a Control F or a Command F to find the details, you might find something else that will answer a question later. Here are some details about our programs on the ground. So each team will be provided their own sleeping accommodation. These are shared rooms of about 2 to 4 teams. Each location that we go to, each new accommodation, we do rotate the rooms to ensure the best dynamics for the group. While there's 24 hours in a day, we try to reserve the 8 hours of being in the hotel room as an opportunity to form new relationships and introduce people. And while we do note travel companion requests, we do try to allow this time to be meeting new people, because more than 50% of our teams do come by themselves, and we want to make it as inclusive to everybody as possible. Occasionally, hotels still provide a different level of accommodation, and we do ask that the teams rotate in those situations. Food. Food for large groups and travel experiences in foreign countries or even domestically is one of the hardest things to prepare for. Each team has their own dietary restriction and food preference, and we do everything we possibly can to call ahead and request things. However, they don't always turn out the way we expect or hope. We ask that each team work with their staff members to individually work through any of the complications. But please try to be cognizant of the timing and your approach. We're working on a final draft of a new proposal, like commitment contract, about people concerned with dietary restrictions. It's a commitment of how we're going to help, how we ask the teams to help, how the staff are going to help, and how the parents are going to support the situation, that we will provide the families that indicate dietary concerns in their health forms. This document will include information on our commitment to call ahead, our ideal to bring teens to a grocery store for snacks, as well as a guideline for what is and what isn't possible. For example, if there are 40 teens and 5 staff members, a team, you know, in a team would prefer another food option that is prepared, it might not be possible for the restaurant staff to stop serving and prepare something new on request. This always opens it up for teams to have their own requests. So meaning if one team needs a modification, and the teams all hear about this modification, they all might want a modification. And it obviously adds complications. And for those of you who either have celebrated Mother's Day at a crowded restaurant with a lot of people, recently I was just at a restaurant and they basically politely declined my request for making something extra well done, because it was just too busy of a kitchen. So even on a small scale, it is difficult to ask for modifications. And parents, while we appreciate the situation you're in, receiving a concerned phone call from your team miles away, we ask that you understand that our staff are there to help, and while it may not be resolved in the moment, our staff should be contacted by your team with the recommendations on how to resolve the issue to fit their needs. So it might not be that they leave the restaurant in that moment to go to the supermarket. They might have to wait an hour until the group has finished, which means that we need to prepare ahead of time. And always thinking ahead with supplemental food from home or a grocery store so that the situation arrives, we have an immediate solution, like a granola bar, like a piece of fruit, like you know, just something that will hold you over during that meal. We don't anticipate this being the standard or the expectation, but we do anticipate it coming up for each team in their own circumstance with or without food allergies or restrictions. So please try to be our partners with that and understand that when you call our office, we will do the best that we can to relay the information, but more often than not, it will not be resolved for that meal time, and that's why we recommend these precautions and this planning ahead to mitigate sort of any you know, concern about health or safety with not eating at the proper time. Shabbat. Shabbat is really a special time for our teams, and whether you are observing Shabbat in the formal way of davening or just taking a time to rest and reflect, this is an amazing opportunity that our secular providers don't offer, and the teams that have this experience sometimes don't know what to do with the space and time that we provide, and we will try to program and provide meaningful experiences, whether it be prayer, informal discussion, or various Shabbat programming. It is really a time to be introspective, and we ask that the teams do come with their own games, either cards or board games or conversations, that they can bring to the group to have this time filled in a meaningful rest and reflection way. When possible, we do try to visit local synagogues, specifically Friday, to give our teams a taste of how Judaism is observed locally. Oftentimes, our best and only option is a traditional Orthodox service. And even if this is not part of your tradition, it's an opportunity for a rich cultural experience. And it can be meaningful, too, with the right framing. And when providing, when possible, we do try to provide alternative options for celebrating Shabbat, on Saturday especially. And teams are encouraged to take a leadership role on how they can bring experience to the group. In regards to medication, teams are responsible for carrying and administering their own medication. Our staff are great. With the rare exception, most of them are not legally allowed to prescribe or dispense medication. And with the exception of over-the-counter drugs or treatments, our staff is not allowed to hold or administer prescribed medication, obviously with the exception of an EpiPen, and cannot be responsible for ensuring that prescribed medicine is taken on schedule. If you do have any special requests regarding refrigeration, please note them in your health forms, and our staff will reach out to you, or you're welcome to reach out to us. Teams, obviously, are never allowed to share or dispense prescribed medication. Even as simple as a Xanax that might be something commonly prescribed for travel on an airplane, it is not your team's opportunity to share that, even if the other parent says it's okay. Some medication must be taken at the same time every day. We understand that. But please take into account the time difference, especially when flying, and consult your doctor if necessary. As I mentioned, sun safety is really important. We ask that teams, when they are out in the sun, wear a hat, sunscreen, carry lots of water, and cover their skin, meaning no tank tops, like I said, during the day traveling. Your staff will explain locally if it's safe to drink the tap water, but in most places that we do, it is safe to drink the tap water, and your water bottles from home can be used to fill up the faucets. Information regarding travel and flights. This is a common question, but seating is actually pre-assigned by the airlines on the group flights, usually 48 hours before check-in. Specific requests for your friends or for aisles or for middles or for anything can be made at the check-in counter only and not ahead of time. If you desire, teams are responsible for obtaining their own reward points via the airline using the ticket information obtained at check-in. We think this is the best way to go. The team can bring a picture of their number, and they can give it to the check-in counter to add to their points, their rewards or their loyalty cards or whatever. Check with your check specific airline for the most up-to-date terms. However, the following are basic luggage rules for transatlantic travel. You get one check bag, no more than 50 pounds, and no more than 30 inches long. And carry on, we ask that you only bring a backpack or something that fits under the seat. One of the amazing things about our experiences, like I mentioned, is the variety of locations our teams come from. And like I said, we offer a community Facebook group for the group to get to know one another. However, not all teams will join, and not all teams will engage. And some may wait until the day of departure to connect. We will provide you a staff cell phone number prior to your group meeting for the airport connections, not the staff member of your program, but the airport rep who can help. And again, this is just for airport duty, not for general use, so please respect that phone number and that time. You'll be given a detailed itinerary, not a timed itinerary, but detailed, which will take you day by day through the experiences and sites you will see. And what we do the best, notify families of major changes. We do not give timed itineraries or activity-by-activity changes. We have partnered with 019, a global cell phone provider, to offer services abroad, included in your welcome packet for international travel. We have included an inactivated SIM card for those of you who are traveling, and you can create an account and choose a plan and activate the cards. Please note that any questions related to the service should be directed directly to 019, as they are the ones that can best support you. Almost done here. Thank you for your patience. Again, please review your specific pre-trip prep document for the specifics on money, cash, credit and exchange information, as well as laundry. In general, we recommend using plastic as it can easily be used abroad, and most places, it protects the accounts. We also recommend bringing a small amount of cash in case you want local street food that may not accept credit cards or in case of emergency, as well as a travel to and from the group if you're connecting on a domestic flight. Each location has a different setup with laundry, but trips 2 weeks or shorter do not include laundry service. Our staff will send updates 2 to 3 times per week via email, but if you want more, please ask your team to send the updates or wait until they get home, as that is the best way to connect with your team on the experiences. Hearing it firsthand when they return is really the best way for your team to feel an opportunity to share what they've learned and they've experienced, rather than saying to your team, oh, yeah, I heard that. Oh, yeah, I know. How was this? Because I already heard about it. It really makes it much more meaningful. There are many situations that may feel emergent but are urgent, and we kindly ask that you follow these guidelines so we can best support all of our families this summer. As a reminder, our emergency line is 202-643-BBYO or 2296, and it's handled by one of our team members. A BBYO staff member in North America will be answering emergency calls 24 hours a day. Please only use the emergency line when there is an emergency, not when something is urgent. So family health emergencies, significant urgent medical or safety situations are all emergency situations that we're equipped to handle on the emergency line. Non-emergent situations include concern about fatigue or social adjustments, requests for flight extensions, requests to be featured in photographs, general security concerns. Email updates will be sent in such scenarios. The number can also be texted as well, so that might be a good alternative as well if you're not sure if it's emergent and you want to reach out to be a text message, though a lot of us are checking email at all hours as well. Please include your child's name and a summary of why you're calling on the emergency line, like I said, so we can best support you. At the end of the program, we'll provide you a post-trip evaluation, and we ask that each team and a parent complete this. This information helps in preparing for future trips, and we really take the information seriously. Since we visit a lot of sacred and religious sites during the program, the custom is to keep knees and shoulders covered for females in such places. So please pack accordingly. This does not mean that you have to go buy something expensive. Simply maxi dresses and shawls and cardigans and slip-on dress skirts over your shorts or over your pants is totally fine. Nobody is judging on your formality, more about your modesty. Also, to create a special atmosphere Shabbat, it is traditional to wear clothing on Friday nights and Saturday during the day that is nicer than what you normally would wear during the rest of the week. Clothing similar to what you'd wear on Shabbat at camp is perfect. In summary, there's just 5 things I just wanted to highlight as we end this call. Number 1, the key rules are no leaving the group or your room at night, no drugs or alcohol, and respect your peers and staff. Number 2, please make sure your team has tried to resolve all issues with their staff and group, and have your team call us with their concerns. Number 3, don't be so picky and critical. Life is too short. When we travel with groups, there's a lot of things that can come up, and your expectations or your standards may not be met, and we'll do everything that we can to mitigate any of this, but these things do come up while traveling. Number four, teams, stay off your phones. Like, focus on the group, focus on making friends. Don't live tweet all your experiences to your parents without context. And number five, just to be clear, this is not a place to explore boundaries. It's a structured program, and we need to keep it that way. As I mentioned, we're so excited and honored to be welcoming over 850 teams this summer on our travel-based experiences from all over the world. And we're so grateful that you've chosen us to provide this experience for your teams. Hopefully you'll be receiving more information along the way that will help clarify any of your questions. Thank you so much, and we greatly appreciate your time for tonight. And we look forward to hearing about all your amazing experiences when you guys return. Thank you so much. Have a great night.